Welcome in. Final hour of the show. Man, that went quick. Hope we are getting through your Monday, getting you through your Monday with the same kind of speed. Hope we have entertained you for the first 2 hours because I, Lucas, and myself, we had a great time with our buddy Josh Black. We're grateful as always for his presence. Hopefully, maybe we'll do something more regular with Josh where we just take calls. That could very quickly spiral. And he didn't yet roast me. So something to save in the bank for the next time he joins us in studio. In the meantime, we are celebrating this week, ladies and gentlemen. It's training camp week. I was at St. Thomas Sports Park this morning, about an hour and a half before the show. I was there to get my COVID testing, the first of the 2021 season, the first swab up my nose to make sure that I'm not infected by, and, you know, maybe. What the email said was that if you are negative, we won't call you. But if you're positive, we'll call you. So now I'm just waiting around my phone for the rest of the day, praying to God I don't have some kind of variant in my body that's going to keep me from doing my job like last year. Because starting off training camp last year, your boy had COVID, and that was not a great way to start the season. But we're excited to have football back in our lives. This show, by the way, will be at training camp for the rest of the week. We will be down there, Tuesday. I will be here in the studio, and we will carry for you Mike Vrabel's opening statement, opening comments, opening press conference at 11:30 tomorrow. But for the rest of the week, it sounds like, Lucas, I'm going to be out in the on the practice fields at St. Thomas Sports Park. Hopefully not the third field, because I'm not allowed to do any third field reporting.
It is kind of crazy that it's already here. Like I feel like we haven't had a moment to breathe. I guess I just got mine these last 3 days or so.
You just got back from the beach. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know. But it's like you say, everybody needs kind of a buffer after a vacation. I didn't quite get that. Oh, I still remember how to do this, though.
Thank God.
You haven't. I watched like a YouTube tutorial before we walked in here.
That's what I did before I went and played celebrity softball.
Yeah.
I watched a YouTube.
How to softball.
How does one softball?
How to radio. That's what I Googled before I walked in.
That's how it goes.
But no, it's just crazy that we're sitting here talking about Mike Vrabel's opening comments tomorrow.
No, I know. It is the best part of football, and really the best part of this offseason has been that there have been no breaks. We have had no lulls in sports news for a great many reasons, whether it's what's going on in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma, what's been happening in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers, as you heard in Lucas's update. Deshaun Watson is not good news, but it's news nonetheless. And the Julio Jones thing basically carried a full month. So shout out to the offseason because it's done. So now the question becomes, ahead of training camp, and I want to know this from the audience, 615-737-1045, what is the most important storyline that you are tracking as a fan? Now, Lucas, we put this to a poll on Twitter. At Buck Rising is where you can vote or weigh in the case of open-ended polls, which seemed to be a foreign concept for Joe Hunk, but that's okay. Ah, that's mean. I shouldn't do that. Hunk and Schaefer were great last week. It took two people to replace you, bud, if that makes you feel any better.
It does.
Good. So there is open-ended polls available to you on social media, at Buck Rising. What are the responses that we are starting to get on the storylines for Titans training camp? But we want to hear from the people as well, 615-737-1045.
Dwayne Rogers says it's AJ teaming or learning from the guy he idolized growing up, obviously Julio Jones.
Julio!
Trayvon Brasher says the evolution of how good Caleb Farley can become.
So that is, so here's the latest updates, right? Lucas went through a lot of the injury designations for you during his update, but we got an email on Saturday, which was unfortunate because at 3 o'clock I was drunk at a wedding and I was having to go through injury designations. So hopefully, if any of you were looking at my Twitter timeline on Saturday, there was no misspellings, no grammatical errors, no slurs. But we got this injury designation email on Saturday. Bud Dupree, Jeremy McNichols, and Ty Sambrello. They are on the PUP, the physically unable to perform list. Caleb Farley and Aaron Brewer, who is a backup offensive lineman, on the NFI list, non-football injury. Each is eligible to return to practice for the PUP and NFI people. Each is eligible to return to practice at any point during training camp once they pass a physical. And then there's, is it Avery or Aubrey? I think it's Aubrey Jones, the defensive tackle. Who would have been, by the way, I thought that was a decent signing. He had his season cut short last year for the Jags because of injury, but Aubrey Jones would have been a good player, but he decided to retire, so he will not play a snap for the Tennessee Titans. He went the way of Kevin Johnson, who retired from this team earlier in the season. So the depth is something that continues to come to mind. And by the way, this from Tom Pelissero earlier, 10 teams now have 90% or more of their players vaccinated. And I add parenthetically that the quote-unquote bullying that the NFL did on Thursday to get these players to, you know, get their asses in gear and get the shots in the arms, or else it's going to cost you, your teammates, and the team that you're playing against money. If we have to cancel a game, we're coming for your neck, and more importantly, for your bank account. That peer pressure seems to have worked by the NFL. Kerry Benford says, so Buck was the one spreading COVID around the Titans facility. No, that was not true, because the incubation process is such that when I got sick with COVID last August, the Titans did not get sick until, I think it was like September 30th, because I remember reporting that Shane Bowen, now defensive coordinator, did not make the trip in week three to Minnesota, and then subsequently had tested positive for COVID-19.
It's not like you could have done anything in person to give anybody COVID last August anyway.
No, we were all on Zoom since March, so like, what the hell am I going to do? I can't cough through the camera. 615-737-1045. What's the biggest storyline that you as a Titans fan are monitoring heading into camp? For me, it has to do with a defensive player. For me, it has to do with one of the draft picks. For me, it has to do with somebody who is going to play a critical role for this team throughout the course of the season. The question remains, when can this man get on the field? I'm going to explain my position on Caleb Farley, the latest that we know, the most recent updates that we have coming up next. And we are going to hear from Coach Mack as well. Coach Mack, who joins this radio show every Friday, and of course you can hear him all across the four shows, 615-737-1045. He had some good insight on the learning curve for a rookie corner coming into the league. We're going to run back that information for you coming up next and get into this discussion about the Titans' first-round draft pick. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, spicy. We love to see it. I'm going to have my full training camp preview available at AtoZSportsNashville.com, so make sure that you are checking that out. I've got a couple of big storylines that I'm paying attention to heading into the season. Got some position battle stuff in there and some tidbits on a few of the new acquisitions that I've been hearing from people in the know. If you would like to weigh in with the storyline that you are monitoring the most heading into training camp, which begins in earnest with practice on Wednesday, we would love to hear from you. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. So the conversation, for me, begins and ends with Caleb Farley. There are so many different layers to this that I think people are curious about, people want to know about, people, and when I say people, I include myself because I have a great many curiosities about this situation. Now, what I was looking for, because I know Kenston, who's a loyal listener to this show, who hangs out with me on the A to Z Sports primetime show at night, he had been telling me for several weeks that our friend Teron, and in fact, I should probably text Teron about this, but Teron had been saying that it was his understanding, Teron Davenport of ESPN, Teron had been saying that he expected Caleb Farley to be ready for training camp. That does not appear to be the case as we sit here today. Now, what could happen between now and Wednesday is Caleb Farley could take a physical and be cleared for practice, as is the case for non-football injury list, which is what he is on. But I was waiting to see, because I myself couldn't find out. There was precious little information out there to be had about Caleb Farley, and sure as hell the Titans aren't going to give us anything relating to injuries and timelines. That sounds like Mike Vrabel's personal hell is just a place where people are asking him about hamstrings and back injuries and timelines for injured players. But with Caleb Farley, here's what I would say to Titans fans. I am not going to get bent out of shape if Caleb Farley doesn't necessarily look like the all-world talent that we believe him to be right out of the gates. I'm not bent out of shape about Caleb Farley. I am curious to see him. I believe that he is going to be a difference maker on this defense if everything is right and he, you know, hasn't forgotten how to play football in the year that he opted out. I am not going to get overly concerned with the status, the attendance, or lack of attendance at these practices by Caleb Farley. Because they have a plan in place. Now, that plan was made a little more complicated by Kevin Johnson retiring, but in a perfect world, you don't want Kevin Johnson playing meaningful snaps for you anyway. Because what people like Kerry Benford, who's on the YouTube channel, Zone TV, is where you can hang out with us, Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, if you would like to get in studio with us, basically, is that Kerry is saying every Titans first round of the last couple of years started on some type of list, so no concern. We should be used to it by now. Now, there is, I mean, that is not a trend. It's not like the Titans, I mean, in this case, they did intentionally and knowingly draft an injured player. They did so with Jeffrey Simmons a couple of years ago as well. That is so. But it's not like the, and actually, Corey Davis had something going on with his ankle when he got to training camp, so maybe I shouldn't say
that.
But
Isaiah Wilson didn't.
Isaiah Wilson was healthy. Rashawn Evans was healthy. And Adoree Jackson was healthy as well, if memory serves. And I think that's all of the first. Jack Conklin healthy as well, yes. Although coming into training camp, although all of them at some point in the training camp process dealt with some kind of issue.
List,
yes.
The many lists.
I thought I was done with lists.
How many lists was Isaiah Wilson on?
Over the course of his brief tenure? Yeah.
Non-football injury.
Non-football injury, COVID reserve list. He was never on IR.
Never on PUP.
Never on PUP. So two of the potential lists that he could be on, he was on. And then, you know, he was on the list. Well, he's not on the reserve retired list. So don't call it a comeback, baby. God, can you imagine? But I'm not bent out of shape about Caleb Farley and his current situation. There's no reason to be yet. We know what he has dealt with. I understand why Titans fans would look at that and say, again, we're going to go through this with a player who's not ready at the start of the year. Again, we're going to go through a situation where a first-round draft pick, who should be expected, by the way, as all first-round draft picks should, to play meaningful snaps for your football team in their rookie year. We are not at the point where we have any idea what Caleb Farley is capable of doing or, more importantly, not doing. There is no reason to get yourselves bent out of shape about this just yet. Now, if it goes the way of Adoree Jackson, where we think, and the information is starting to leak out, like it did with Adoree, what was that? Did they play the Steelers in week 6, I believe? No, week 6 is when Lawan tore his ACL against the Houston Texans. So that would have been week 7. Against the Pittsburgh Steelers once they finally got that game off the ground.
Yeah, both teams were 5-0.
Right. And they had used their bye week because of the COVID outbreak that the Titans were experiencing and everything got shuffled around. So, you have a situation with Caleb Farley where you're right to be cautious. And I would say be cautious, but don't over-exaggerate the situation more than need be. It's not fair to Caleb, and it's not fair to yourselves. We will find out, I mean, we won't find out more about the injury, and we won't find out more about the timeline for the Titans when we talk to Mike Vrabel tomorrow, because that's not what Vrabel does. But until it becomes a situation, if it becomes a situation, where Adoree Jackson, the reports are starting to come out, in fact, I remember being told by multiple people that Adoree Jackson was expected to play or at least expected to be active against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then it didn't happen until I think like week 11 when Adoree finally got out onto the field. And they didn't play him for several weeks after they were required to activate him to the roster. That was something where they were not acknowledging setbacks, but clearly something happened with the knee issues that he was experiencing that caused there to be delays. If that becomes the case with Caleb Farley, then you are well within your rights to be pissed off and miserable. But the reaction that I'm seeing from Titans fans already before we even do a training camp practice is, oh, yet another situation with a first-round pick who's not going to be able to contribute out of the gate for this team. You don't know that yet. So don't get bent out of shape. Then there is the learning curve for a rookie corner coming into the league. And this was a great conversation that we had on Friday with Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio, who joins us every Friday for his weekly appearance. I asked Mac, you know, what is the learning curve like? Just not understanding that each situation is unique. Each player comes in with a different skill set and a different level of acumen at the NFL level, but they all go through some general learning curves. This is what Mac had to say.
Nuanced receivers, and then the speed that everything happens, and the quarterbacks make throws in a lot smaller windows than they made in college. In college, you've got quarterbacks that are waiting for big windows to come open. Most of them are. And then, of course, with the hash marks make a big difference, Buck, especially playing defense in the National Football League, because the field, everything squeezed towards the middle. So you've got a lot of room. And so the windows are different that you play that you play in. Corners got to realize one thing. The receivers are on top of you quicker than you know. Their routes are much more nuanced, and the balls are much more accurate and coming much quicker than they did in collegiate football, if you want to just break it down, you know, to just the generalizations. But that's what you got to get ready for first. And the main thing they've got to get ready for is being able to maintain and being able to understand the nuances of the routes, because the routes can get on them so quick. And then the good receivers, and once he gets to start practicing against AJ and gets to start practicing against Julio, he'll understand and see that guys that weren't open in collegiate football because of he may be on their hip, that ball's going to be thrown. That ball's going to be thrown, and he's going to have to be able to get into combat situations much quicker than you do in collegiate ball.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio walking us through the learning curve for a rookie cornerback coming into the league. So nuanced receivers is a big thing. Now, what a lot of people were looking at, and looking at Caleb Farley and Elijah Molden, even Jackrabbit Jenkins to a degree, and Christian Fulton, is now they will have the opportunity to practice against very high-level players at the wide receiver position. Not that Corey Davis wasn't, and certainly in his final season, he was a high-level player, but the difference between the gap between Julio Jones and Corey Davis is a vast one. Now you will see Julio Jones, and what their practice regimen with Julio at his age and the way that he's basically managed his body over the last 2 years, how they manage Julio's practice time will be a storyline for sure. Because this is a player who did have last season cut short due to injury, and certainly is somebody who has been famous for not practicing, just doing what he needs to do to get to game day. So we know we will see some Julio Jones. How much is a matter of some conversation. But against A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Josh Reynolds, these young corners will have the ability to, for lack of a better term, cut their teeth. They will see some of the best at the position within their own facility in the weeks leading up to games. Now, they will have a challenging test in week one, because you've got a mobile quarterback who will require you to cover and to stick to your man for longer if you are a cornerback. And Kyler Murray, his ability to extend the play. You have an all-world wide receiver, no matter how stupid I thought he was on Thursday of last week when I kind of got a piece of DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is a talent almost without parallel in a league that is chock full of fantastic wide receivers. You have the best possible situation. Not only will they practice against Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, they will go to Tampa Bay. And they will see arguably the best offensive skill position players in football right now. I know that Bill Barnwell did a ranking of the best and worst arsenals on the offensive side of the ball for each team in 2021 the Titans, for what it's worth, including Derrick Henry in this conversation and Anthony Firkser at tight end, the Titans ranked third. At number one is the defending Super Bowl champions, with Mike Evans as the number one wide receiver. Chris Godwin, who is an embarrassment of riches at the position. Antonio Brown, who is a limited version of Antonio Brown, but still poses a threat. And Brady has found a way to make a star is probably not quite the word, but he's found a way to make another undersized white slot receiver a talented weapon in Scotty Miller, the 2021 version of Julian Edelman and Wes Welker before him, and all of the players at the position that Tom Brady has found. You know, Tom Brady has a type. But they will see this young secondary of the Titans, Amani Hooker, who will see an extended role, we assume, in this Titans defense without Kenny Vaccaro. I don't think Mathias Farley is going to push him for the starting, whether you want to call him a strong safety, whether you want to call him a box safety. Amani Hooker is your guy. So you have a lot of parts looking to work together for the first time in this defensive secondary, and a great challenge for them basically until we get to the season when they will face one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver, in the NFL. Caleb Farley is going to have, it's going to be baptism by fire because he's already late to the party on the NFI. We will see when he gets cleared after he passes a physical. It may be tomorrow. It may not be for some time. We have no idea at this point. But he will have a baptism by fire because he'll be coming in the middle, or not in the middle of training camp, but once training camp has begun, he will be coming in against some of the best players at the position at wide receiver. His break from those wide receivers will be Tom Brady, the defending Super Bowl champions, and the best, arguably, offensive skill position players in football right now. The Bucs are no slouch. They've run back almost the entirety of that 2020 Super Bowl winning team. And Brady in year two in this offense, as we talked about with Greg Cosell on last week's episode of The Install, subscribe, rate, review, to where you get Greg Cosell's podcast with myself each and every week. We will have a fun one prepared for you this week, by the way, so make sure that you are already subscribed no matter what your podcast app of choice is. Caleb Farley is going to have as best an education as humanly possible for a rookie quarterback coming into the league. And the Titans' plan, if he is not immediately available to them, is this. Well, we have Jackrabbit Jenkins, who is a proven starter on the outside, a player who is, even though he is older than Malcolm Butler, I believe to be an upgrade over Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler, by the way, who you can make the argument was the best Titans defender last year, which is, you know, like, it's small praise because the Titans defense was historically bad in a great many ways. But Malcolm Butler did have a good year. They upgraded their best corner with Jackrabbit Jenkins. Then you look at Christian Fulton, who is still a bit of an unknown, but is also a hugely talented player. Now, Christian Fulton started in the slot at the start of the Titans' 2020 season. In fact, got an interception in their first home game. What was that, against the Jags in week two, I believe. Got a pick in his first home game. Was competent in the slot, but without the pass rush. The secondary was immediately made to look worse. And then experienced a great deal of time off because he himself, as a rookie, adjusting to the speed and the violence of the NFL game, did miss some time. He started in the slot and then was played a lot on the outside. Now, what Vrabel and Bowen and any other defensive coach would tell you is that they play a lot of matchup-driven defense. So to say that because Fulton was in the slot primarily at the start of the year and that he was playing a lot on the outside at the end of the year once he returned to injury may not be a plan, may not be how they choose to move forward with their defense. That may be entirely matchup-driven. But you do have a corner who has experience at both, who I think is a little bit more comfortable on the outside, but you do have the option to play him in the slot if need be. And then, not only did you take a corner with your first-round pick, you took a bit of a gamble, but if you're going to gamble on any player at any position, you should do it in the first round, even if that player is injured. You're going best player available at that point. There is no disputing that when he is right, at 22, Caleb Farley was by leaps and bounds the best player the that the Titans could have added to their roster, understanding the concerns about his back. So they hedged their bets a little bit. They hedged their bets with Elijah Molden, who we've talked about at great length, who was a good, who was a great guest on this radio show, by the way. I really enjoyed talking to him, and I hope that he will be back. By the way, there is going to be a bunch of these guys on the radio show over the course of training camp, since we'll be out there at St. Thomas Sports Park for a good bit of it. So make sure that you're hanging with us throughout the course of football season, because we're going to have some great access to bring to you guys, because we are the home of the Tennessee Titans on the flagship station here on 104.5 The Zone. So they hedged their bets a little bit with Elijah Molden, who Lewis Riddick, one of the smartest minds in football commentary right now, somebody who has been receiving interview requests as a media personality to be a general manager of an NFL franchise, Lewis Riddick described Elijah Molden as a Jedi in the slot. Okay, so you have a bit of a solution now. So if Farley is not ready to go, hypothetically, again, hypothetically, if Farley is not ready by week one, well, you have your solution on the outside, right? You've got Jackrabbit. You've got Christian Fulton. So what do you do in the slot? Well, you do have the luxury of the player described as the Jedi in the slot, which is Elijah Molden, understanding that he will still have the same learning curves that Coach Mack described as any rookie corner would. My larger point with this is how we started this particular diatribe on Titans training camp. Do not work yourself up unnecessarily about Caleb Farley. There will be a time for that if this thing proceeds and we continue to not be given any injury information. You guys often demand it of your coaching staff. Your coaching staff is unwilling to give it to you. I understand why you feel the way that you do. I understand why they feel and why it helps the players to protect them in that way. Something that Mike Mularkey did not do during his time as Titans coach. Mike could tell us, we're thinking, you know, DeMarco Murray, just as an example, DeMarco Murray, hamstring injury, we're thinking about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks for him, and on it would go, like a rundown of all the players who didn't participate that day. We didn't realize how good we had it with Mularkey until Vrabel showed up and was like, nah, y'all can kick rocks. We're not talking about that stuff here. Don't get yourself into a frenzy if the first round pick is not out there for the first training camp practice. He may well be. He may pass a physical before they take the field on Wednesday. But if he doesn't, namaste. There is a plan in place. The roster has been constructed as such. There will be a time when they work him into the lineup. All we can do now is not overreact. All we can do now is focus on the players who will be out there on the field when training camp officially begins. We'll carry Mike Vrabel's press conference live, the training camp opening press conference, for you right here on these airwaves, 11:30 tomorrow. You won't want to miss it, because I'm certain somebody's going to ask him about Caleb Farley and Bud Dupree and injuries of that nature. And I'm sure he'll say nothing. Somebody who is not going to say nothing coming up next is Lucas Panzeca, because he's back from vacation and ready to do some polls. For the day, been a lot of fun. As always, if you missed any of the show, fear not. The Buck Rising Show, your favorite podcast app, is available for you. Subscribe, rate, review. Leave us 5 stars if you are on Apple Podcasts, or we're going to be pissed about it. Like, no 4 stars. I'm really going to be pissed if there's a 4-star. Like, if you leave me a 4-star, you might as not, well, not rate it at all. Just get the hell out of here with that. We're getting questions on YouTube from people watching us on Zone TV asking when the Tennessee Geography Bee is coming back. Hopefully not until next summer. We are retiring the Tennessee Geography Bee for the year. Is that going to be an annual joint? Are you guys going to be able to come up with more names? Not like there's going to be new cities in Tennessee.
I think there will always be more. Like, I think we kind of hit the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Tennessee towns and their pronunciations.
Okay. Well, we will make that an annual function. But that's a summer joint. The summer is over, baby. It's time for football. We have no time for any frivolity around here. Like, you know, polls.
Stop the count. Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show daily correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
Who plays more games for the Texans this season, Deshaun Watson or Tyrod Taylor? 88% say Tyrod Taylor.
Well, I am going to be curious Dan Lust, the sports attorney who joined us earlier in the show, felt that, you know, until they place him on the commissioner's exempt list, until they put him on what is the NFL's version of paid administrative leave, he could keep practicing and potentially play because this will not be sorted out in court. It could take weeks, months, years. They're still in the civil side of things before any criminal charges are brought. So the Watson thing continues to be a fascination.
Okay, this poll was 50-50 until moments ago. One final vote swayed it in one direction. Will USA basketball get out of the group stage? 51% say no.
Can I take a minute since we didn't get to this with Josh Black, who was here with us in hour two? The United States Olympic experience for me, I have zero interest. Am I alone in that? Like I can't find it. I can't find any of the stuff that I want to watch because NBC split it up over a bunch of properties. Like the USA France basketball game was on at 8 a.m. and not on big NBC. Like how am I supposed to? I'm already not crazy about the Olympic experience for a variety of reasons. One, you can't take me back to a time in sports where there are no fans now that we have fans back in the arena, especially for something like the Olympic Games. Two, I have problems with the Olympics anyway because they're just an economic disaster for the countries that host them, especially whilst doing it in the middle of a global pandemic when the athletes are getting testing every day and Japan is struggling to get their citizens vaccinated and tested in a way that, you know, values the life of Olympic athletes over the citizens of that particular country in a time where economic uncertainty is great. So that I have problems with too. And three, we seem to not be very good in the Olympic Games this year. I was disappointed by the women's gymnastics. I was wildly disappointed, wildly underwhelmed by USA basketball. The 4 minutes of that game that I watched once I finally found it on NBCSN or whatever the hell that they put it on was the 4 minutes that it took USA to blow a lead and then end up losing to the French. The first time that we've won a group or lost a group stage game since 2004.
Now, the U.S. is second in gold medals with 7, second only to host Japan, who has 8, second in overall medals with 14, second to China, who has 18. I mean, men's 4x100 swimming took gold just the other day. Katie Ledecky did take silver, though, in the, I believe, 4x100 freestyle, which is rare to see her lose. But in the grand scheme of things, like, the U.S. is still right there in the conversation like they always are. It's just the big ones that stick out that in basketball, when they underperform, I feel like it casts a shadow on every other event.
Okay, the big ones. You're catching fringe sports fans with an 8 a.m. basketball game. The things that are the viewership-driven commodities, they have to win.
Well, I'll
to
get also me to say care. This. How many have you ever watched a USA basketball Olympic group stage game?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like most people don't even pay attention until they basketball. Get near the semifinals. Because like, the U.S. is typically blowing. They're 30-point favorites the other day. They're going to be 30-point favorites against Iran and against Czech Republic, who they need to beat now just to get out of the group. But I also feel like most people generally don't watch that first game because it's a blowout, or at least it should be. I mean, the reason people care is because the U.S. sucks right now.
And Kevin Durant's an easy target. I care because I watch basketball and I like basketball. Basketball is, as a fan, basketball has always been my favorite sport. So when they do disappoint, I'm one of like the 10 people watching because I'm pissed at them.
Okay, what is one NFL stadium you want to live in? Many shouts for the palatial SoFi Stadium, brand new, of course, in L.A. Joseph Green says Jerry World just for video games on that Jumbotron. Andrew Fleming points out the Chiefs owner suite at Arrowhead Stadium, which is insane.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to have to Google it right now. So the reason that this was brought up is because Kanye West, as we talked about in the second hour, Kanye West is living in Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play their games until he finishes his latest album. He had the album release party at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It broke all kind of streaming records for Apple Music. But the release party was for an unfinished album, and apparently he has just taken up residence in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which, by the way, is lovely. I cannot fault him. But the correct answer is, but see, it can't be SoFi, and it can't be Dallas, because Dallas isn't in Dallas. It's in Arlington. And SoFi isn't in L.A. It's in Englewood. Like, these are not logistically close places to get to. For proximity to resources, even though you may not need resources because you're in a multi-billion dollar stadium, I honestly think Mercedes-Benz is up there because it's right in downtown Atlanta.
Or if you're a cat person like we are and you want to stay in Nashville, hang out at Nissan Stadium with all the stray cats that run around the concourse over there.
The stadium cats are always a fascination when I'm leaving Nissan Stadium press box, you know, 6 hours after everybody's gone and it's just me and the cats that look like they want to cut your throat.
Well, they know. They can sense when you are apt to taking them home, so they might follow you around a little extra. Ugh. I saw at least four or five when I was there for my Titans PA audition.
Yeah. The stadium cats are something, but you know, they're like that in my neighborhood too. So cats for life.
What is the biggest storyline of Titans camp? You talked about Caleb Farley. Many have said injuries coming into camp. Bud Dupree, Farley obviously among that, but Bud Dupree coming off an ACL tear. Mine, which a few have mentioned on the Twitter poll, is one that we haven't really talked about all year, and maybe it's because we're not really able to further the conversation. It's the one position where the majority of coaches across the league are as hands-off as they can possibly be, and that's kicker. We haven't talked about it. Blake Hobiel and Tucker McCann are the two kickers on the roster right now. Steven Gostkowski still floating around as a free agent.
And hasn't retired.
No, he has not retired.
And owns a home in Franklin, so it's not like he's gone anywhere. Yeah,
it makes me wonder if that's just going to be the easy fallback, but that is a very critical position that, as we saw last year, can swing multiple games on the schedule that you feel like has kind of gone unaddressed.
I've just found the pictures of the Chiefs owner, sweet dear God.
Yeah, it's amazing. Spiral staircase.
Hand-carved wooden spiral staircase. That's unreal. Yeah, the kicker. So, like, the justification for the kicker would have been probably, if we're going to save money anywhere, let's do it at special teams, because how much of a difference is there between Tucker McCann and Steven Gostkowski? Turns out,
big difference.
Big difference.
You went out, you got Morgan Cox, one of the best long snappers in the game. Great. Who's he going to be snapping?
Don't have it botched by the fact that you don't. And I mean, Hobiel or McCann could end up being fine. We have no idea. But the point is, they're not the most accurate kicker or one of the most accurate kickers in the history of the sport, which was Steven Gostkowski, who was great down the stretch, even as it was a rocky start. We were great down the stretch, I think, today. It was a great show. Blaine and Mickey are not going to be rocky from the start. They're what's up next.